Whether you're a Hog fan, a lover of Southern sports, or just someone who wants to know what's going on in the Premier League of College Athletics, snuggle up close to your radio, computer, or phone, because it's time to hear from ESPN.com's SEC insider, Edward Eschoff, who's here to tell you all you need to know about what's up and who's going down in the SEC.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a guy?
Really become parts of this song. I had never heard it before Edward turned me on to it, and now I hear it all the time.
Every Thursday.
It's been stolen by a couple of car companies, too, I think, for commercials. Mr. Eschoff, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
It is a beautiful day in Arkansas. Hopefully, that's the way we feel on Saturday night after Arkansas plays Tulsa.
I think they will. I think it'll be a tough game, but I wrote this morning, I think that the offense kind of gets it going in the second half, especially fourth quarter.
Well, neither you nor Chris Lowe think Arkansas is going to cover the Vegas number, but if you're predicting a victory, we'll accept it any which way but loose at this point.
I think they'll be all right. I know that it's down times there in Arkansas, and especially Fayetteville, but I think this team can beat Tulsa. It should be able to, but hey, you know, we said the same thing against UL Monroe, and it didn't exactly work out that way. And I picked Arkansas to beat Ole Miss, and that didn't work out either.
No, this is true. Although I would much rather be Arkansas than Auburn. Yeah. Auburn's only win is against Louisiana Monroe. And that's the thing. When you can't drag yourself or pick yourself up, you have to drag others down. Auburn is 1-7, and their only win is an overtime victory against Louisiana Monroe. They could so easily be 0-8 right now, facing a 1-7 New Mexico State team, making it the greatest abomination in SEC college football history 8 weeks in.
I'm still really surprised at how bad this Auburn team has been. I mean, yes, they're still a young team, but two new coordinators, a lot of talent. I mean, you look at those recruiting classes that they've had the last couple of years, and you can't help but be impressed. And you hate to say, okay, it's all on the coaches, but at some point, something has to change as far as schematics and stuff like that. I mean, something that they're doing is just not working when it comes to practicing, and it's obviously not working on the field. But players throw the balls, they catch the balls, they go for tackles, and they just have not done any of that very well right now. Nothing seems to be going right on the planes, and I went into the season thinking that Gene Chizik was going to be perfectly all right, and as the weeks have gone by, I've stuck by that, but the closer and closer we get to the end of the season, this team's probably not going to win an SEC game.
Yep.
It's going to be really tough for them.
Well, yeah, we're not sure they're going to get a new coach. We're starting to assume that they're getting a new coach. At least at Arkansas, on their way to a rough season, we know there's going to be a new coach put in place. Are you hearing anything on that?
You know, everybody there has kept it really close to the vest, and I think right now that's the smart thing to do because everybody's going to start talking about coaching jobs around the country, especially in the SEC. Are there going to be three other jobs available? We still don't really know. I think a lot of people are leaning toward a yes in that category, but you still really don't know for sure. And I think it's smart for Jeff Long to say, anything that I do is behind closed doors. I'm going to make sure that this search really gets going in December. And I think that's smart. There's no need to bring any more distractions to that program. And I think a coaching search now, a public coaching search anyway, is something that I think could just really distract the team even more. And like I've said, there's still a lot of pride left. And, you know, as tough as it's going to be for this team to make it to a bowl game, they're not mathematically out. So if there's any chance for them to make it, make sure they have clear heads. And I think talking about a coach for next year is not going to help them.
What type of coach you think would fit well at Arkansas?
Well, I think it's somebody who knows the area. And I think that's really important for a school like Arkansas because, I mean, let's face it, the talent level in the state there high school-wise is not the same as it is in Florida or Georgia or Alabama. I mean, it's just totally different. I think you have to find somebody who knows that area, can recruit well there, and can step out of the comfort zone. And I've said Charlie Strong is a guy who I think that, you know, Arkansas could reach out to. He's from there. He's a Hall of Famer.
How's his recruiting class has been, Charlie Strong's, here recently? Do you know? Because I don't know at all. I'm just curious. If
Teddy Bridgewater was the guy that Florida wanted, but they wanted him as a wide receiver, and now he's doing pretty well at Louisville.
Yeah.
He's done very good at recruiting South Florida, and I think that's something he could bring to Arkansas. I mean, he knows so many people in the state of Florida, so many people in the state of Georgia, that he's going to be able to get that Arkansas brand out there more than I think maybe even Petrino did. Because if you look at Petrino's classes, you know, none of them were ranked very high, and obviously recruiting rankings don't mean all that much, but when you're talking about getting elite players have proven themselves at the high school level, I think Charlie Strong is the guy who could do that. Now, will they reach out to him? I'm not sure. Would Charlie Strong even want to leave Louisville, especially
right. You
know, if Louisville and the Big 12 start to talk, which the rumors obviously are out there, does he want to leave that situation? I don't know. I mean, he's coached in the SEC. I think he knows how to win in the SEC. So if I were Jeff Long, I would certainly reach out to him.
I don't think there's any. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason why you wouldn't. But I mean, it's also pretty clear that he's not going anywhere. To me, there was a story recently, and I don't know if you saw it on CBSSports.com, where the AD over there was interviewed, and he made it clear they're paying him top 10 money. He's making top 10 money in college football right now at Louisville, and he also said, "I will make him the number one guy in college football if I have to." They are very committed to Charlie Strong, and after a long time of being shunned for what is reportedly, or at least rumored to be, a lot of stupid reasons, as far as a head coaching opportunity goes, they gave him his shot, and I think he's indebted to them. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to stay there forever, but I would think for the foreseeable future, Charlie Strong, because of the things I mentioned, is not leaving Louisville, so I don't even think he's a realistic option.
Tommy Tuberville said that the only way you'd take him out of Oxford was in a casket. So he ended up at Auburn.
Totally different situation. Totally different situation. But let me ask you about – okay, so let's talk about
–
yeah, I understand that, but I would be willing to bet anybody money that he does not leave there this year. So if I'm Arkansas, I better make sure I get somebody who's going to be here past this year. So that means to me that Charlie Strong ain't coming. Okay, so what about Tuberville? Because he's a name that continues to get talked about, even though they're coming off a loss last week. I mean, obviously, defensively, they're very good. They still run a dynamic offense. I mean, if you're an Arkansas fan, you look at the way Texas Tech goes about their football business, and you think, yeah, I can get excited about that. Now, Tuberville's been rumored to be in the mix a couple of different times at Arkansas, and I think this probably goes beyond rumor. I mean, I think he very much was in the mix at Arkansas a couple of times when it was open. He's 58, which is still relatively young when you look at what Bill Snyder's doing. How reasonable do you think he is as far as – and, again, he hadn't been in Tech a long time. I mean, I don't know how much he wants to make another move so quickly.
The key thing he said earlier was defense is looking good, and I think that that's something – that anybody in Arkansas would be happy about at this point. But, I mean, he's another guy who knows the SEC, and I think he's someone who could attract a lot of names to Arkansas. He had a very good start to his Auburn career, obviously didn't end the way that he wanted. Same with Ole Miss, up and down years. But I think he's somebody who's going to relate to those kind of recruits in this area. I think that he's someone that, you know, I guess if I were in charge of this, I mean, I think Charlie Strong is the guy who's probably number one on my list, and then Tuberville's got to be right under them. I mean, he's somebody who can recruit. He does well defensively. I think that's key for Arkansas because we know that, you know, they have the offensive talent. I think that they have some depth on offense for the next couple of years, but defense has got to be hit in recruiting, and schemes have to change and mindsets have to change on defense. So, yeah, I absolutely agree. I think Tommy Tuberville would be a pretty big name to throw out there, and I think he's somebody who might be interested. And if there's a school to come back to, I know that he's been linked to Kentucky as well. I mean, everybody has pretty much been linked to these three jobs at this point, but I think he would consider Arkansas. I think that's a good spot for him to land if he could get back in the SEC.
Edward Ashoff, ESPN.com, SEC blogger, joining us in the zone today on the Revolution Hotline. You know, we talked about the timing of not rushing it, and certainly, like you mentioned, the players have something to play for yet, and it would be a long shot, but certainly not outside the realm of possibilities to make a bowl game at this point, which would be a great achievement. But the timing is unique because we all are anticipating other jobs in the SEC opening up. Jeff Long said early December is when he's going to start getting real serious about it. I mean, to me, it would be somewhat of an advantage to be able to snatch somebody up before a Tennessee comes open, before an Auburn comes open. Do you agree with that?
I think so, because if jobs start to open up right after the season, you have to look at which ones are more attractive. And when it comes to recruiting, if Auburn opens up, if Tennessee opens up, I mean, I think those are way more attractive jobs because of the recruiting base. You can hit the Southeast as hard as you want coaching at Tennessee and Auburn, and, I mean, both have better tradition than Arkansas does in the SEC, but I think that Petrino proved that you can get talent there and that you can develop talent there. Facilities are top-notch. I mean, they're really, really expanding that program and putting it up there nationally. I mean, Bobby Petrino turned that into a top-10, top-15 program. Now it's about keeping it there. And obviously, I think you can consider this year a wash. I don't think that, you know, losing Bobby Petrino, having all those distractions this season necessarily drops Arkansas from that top-10, top-15 ranking. But it's all about, okay, bring somebody in who can keep it there. And I think that big coaches are going to be attracted to this job. If you can recruit Texas, which is going to be tougher with Texas A&M there, if you can recruit Oklahoma, I think you have a really good shot. Obviously, the Southeast is where you want to focus. Finding somebody who can do all three of those is going to be huge. And I think there are plenty of big-name coaches out there that would be interested in doing that. But, yeah, if Auburn and Tennessee come open, it's going to be tough for Arkansas, I think, at that point.
Okay, let me ask you, I'm going to name two guys, and I'm not saying necessarily specific to Arkansas, but guys that have been rumored to maybe be interested in coming to the SEC. And I almost can't even say this one without laughing anymore because it just seems so ridiculous to me that he would leave the current job he has. But John Gruden is a name that gets popped up a lot, and Mike Gundy. Now, the only thing about Gruden is he said he wants to coach again, whether that's NFL or college, I don't know. Mike Gundy has been rumored that he is willing to consider maybe a change of pace, and certainly to go to the SEC would be attractive, I would think, plus to get out of Oklahoma's shadow.
I think the John Gruden thing is what everybody is hoping for at Tennessee at this point as far as fans go. I mean, he met his wife there. He was a grad assistant there. He has land in East Tennessee. He's all the connection to Tennessee. His name was brought up back when, you know, Notre Dame was looking for a coach, when Tennessee was looking for a coach, when Florida was looking for a coach. People think he'd be a great recruiter. I know he's joked about recruiting and how tough that is during Monday Night Football and things like that. But the question is, could he be a guy who could really take a program up? I mean, he did win that Super Bowl at Tampa, but had some struggles and eventually got fired. I mean, he brings a lot of energy, I think, and enthusiasm to a program. But I think he's going to have to work just as hard. He's not going to walk in and get 10 wins at any program. It's hard for anybody to do that in the SEC in their first year. So I think that people are really, really amped up about John Gruden. The rumors are out there that he's already, you know, talked to Tennessee and the contract is in place. And I'm sure that that's just message board fodder that everybody loves. But at this point, it's tough to say. No one is really talking. Tennessee's quiet. Arkansas is quiet. Auburn's quiet. Everybody is quiet at this point about it. And I know and fans keep throwing his name out there, but I'll believe it when I see it. I think he'd be a good fit because of his ties to Tennessee and he knows the area. But, I mean, let's wait. There's some other good college coaches out there that I think Tennessee or anybody would really go for. And as far as Mike Gundy, it's getting out of Oklahoma's shadow is great, but now you're in the shadow of LSU, yeah. Alabama, Florida, Georgia. I mean, it's a little tougher. Talking about being in the shadow of one team, now you're having to recruit with some of the best recruiters in the country in the most talent-rich areas. So I don't know if he'd be really making it. He'd obviously be making a step up going to the SEC and probably price-wise as well, but I think that trying to get out of someone's shadow, you're not doing a very good job if you're going to the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, but you do have to deal with Texas and Oklahoma both over there too. So, I mean, I understand that. At least he gets to own a whole state. I mean, and that, you know how it is around here. I mean, that's all there is. So, I mean, it's from a big-time sports standpoint, you do get to kind of be, you know, king in a way. Anyway, we'll see what he does, if anything. And he may stay put, see if T. Boone wants to throw more money at him or not. Okay, well, let's talk about some of the key matchups this week. And, man, you got a great one brewing in Starkville this week with the leading rusher in the league being the quarterback from Texas A&M, which is just incredible. I don't know how long he can keep that up, but it's sure fun to watch at this point. It's an awful lot on the line, though, for A&M, though, if something ever happens to him. Mississippi State licking its wounds, brought back to earth after a great start by getting handled last week against Alabama. Very intriguing 11 o'clock kick this week between A&M and Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think this one has the opportunity to be one of the more exciting games of the day. And just because, like you said, high-flying offense against a pretty sturdy defense that was steamrolled by Alabama, but who hasn't been steamrolled by Alabama this year? I think the key
Arkansas
for Mississippi State. I think the key for Mississippi State is containing Johnny Manziel, and that's what Florida and LSU did a great job of in the second half of those games. I mean, Manziel has looked like a Heisman Trophy candidate in every game but those two, because the second half adjustments are made. That offensive line gets worn down with those really talented defensive lines. The advantage that Texas A&M has in this game is Mississippi State's defensive line has not been great this season. They haven't generated a lot of sacks. They haven't put a ton of pressure on the quarterback. Their job is going to mainly be to contain. I think if they try to put too much pressure on him, you open up running lanes, and that's where Johnny Manziel can kill you, because he can throw the ball well. We all know that he can run. And I know those cornerbacks are pretty upset with how they played and those safeties missing assignments against Alabama. This is a chance for them to really redeem themselves, because Johnny Manziel, for as good as he has been, he's been off the cuff a few times, and he can get kind of sporadic with his throws. And when you do that in a hostile environment, I mean, those cowbells are going to be ringing all night. You can turn the ball over, and that team is not afraid to snatch the ball away from you. They've been extremely balanced on offense, so keeping the ball out of Tyler Russell's hands is huge for Texas A&M. But I think Johnny Football gets it done. I just don't see enough from that defensive line that said that they're going to be able to contain him. I think he's going to have a pretty big day.
Chris Lowe likes Mississippi State. I love when you guys split. That means it's going to be an awesome game, just like I expect it to be.
It just means that I'm going to take another game lead on him.
I like that. Pile on, my man. That's good. I won't, because I respect you too much, will not ask you to talk about New Mexico State and Auburn. Let's move on to an intriguing one before we get to the heavyweight battle going on in Baton Rouge this weekend. Ole Miss at Georgia. For all the good Georgia did itself last week against Florida, they give all those good feelings back this week if they slip up at home against Ole Miss. And Ole Miss certainly has its issues, as we saw last week in Little Rock, but they were good enough to win last week. Are they good enough to catch a sleeping Georgia team still feeling good, puffing out its chest after that win last week?
This is the perfect trap game for Georgia. I don't see the defense playing as well as it did against Florida. I think that all that emotion they had is going to be sucked out a little bit. I still think they'll play pretty well. But this is a dangerous Ole Miss team. They have one win to get to a bowl, and it's a tough November for them. If they were to come out harder than they've come out any game this season, it would be this one, because I think Hugh Freeze understands you don't beat Georgia. You got a pretty tough schedule ahead of you. And to end the year against Mississippi State in a must-win situation for a bowl is probably not ideal. Because Mississippi State's had that team's number, and Mississippi State's pretty good this year. But this is, like you said, a sleeping Georgia team could come out. I know Mark Richt was upset with their Tuesday practice, or maybe their Wednesday practice this week. And I think that this team is going to be it's going to be sleeping a little bit. And I think Ole Miss is going to be able to capitalize early, but I think late in the game you're going to see that depth that Georgia has kind of wear down this Ole Miss team. I think it's close, but I think Georgia pulls it out, and then all they have to do is beat Auburn. And if they can't beat Auburn, then they might be revoked from the SEC.
All right, Alabama at LSU. It is the heavyweight battle, 7 o'clock kick, which the people at LSU love those night kicks, playing Alabama, a team that's given up 8 points a game, which is just ridiculous. Now LSU's defense has been up to the task. We know their issues on offense. I said earlier this week that if Alabama and LSU played 10 times this year, Alabama would win 11. Maybe a bit of an overstatement. But if LSU can't get them down there at 7 o'clock, they ain't ever going to get them.
I do think that this game is going to be more of a mixture of the two we saw last year. I think the play up front is going to be similar to the first game, but I think that Alabama is going to be as balanced as they were in the second one. It all comes down to Zach Mettenberger. We know that LSU defense can stop Alabama, but it's all about how much energy is that defense going to have. Just like the Florida game, the Gators just ran and ran and ran, wore that team down, and scored 2 touchdowns in the second half, and 1 touchdown was enough to win. I think that Mettenberger has a ton of pressure on him. The good thing is he did get a week off to work on whatever he needs to do to get more confidence, more zip on the ball, and more comfort in the pocket. But I just don't see it happening. I think that Alabama, I think this one's close in the first half, and I think you see Alabama just kind of roll in the second one and get way too much momentum going into the fourth, and just kind of cruise from there. I think I said 23-13 Alabama, and you know, talking to Chris, 13 points might be generous, but I just think LSU's going to figure something out early, catch Alabama on its heels, and and make a play or two there. And, you know, if Bettenberger turns into the quarterback that we all thought he was, then this game could be even better to watch. But I think it'll be pretty entertaining until Alabama just kind of cruises in the fourth.
That's kind of what I think. All right, very good. Edward, we appreciate it. And we'll ask you this question probably for the next few weeks too. Who is the real number two in the country right now? Among the undefeated, it's between Notre Dame and Kansas State and Oregon. Who do you like?
I go Oregon. I think Oregon is getting killed in the computers for no reason. Yeah. I think that's the second-best team in the country.
I would agree with you. Edward, great stuff, my man. I appreciate it. Follow Edward's work on ESPN.com, the SEC blog. Always good stuff, and we appreciate having him on every week. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Edward. Where are you this weekend?
I'm actually at home.
Okay.
I'm getting a week off, so I get to watch games.
That'll be
very relaxing.
There's a good ones, a lot of good ones to flip around. All right, man. We appreciate it. Take care.